Good evening, class. Our subject today is going to still be on the subject of authority. Matter of fact, I think this is lesson number 5. One of the things we're going to be talking about in this lesson is that obedience is going to have to be recovered. Meaning, with that statement being said, the true understanding of obedience has been lost within the church, and the church as a whole is suffering from it or because of it, and we're going to be able to see it, how to recover ourselves. The church must recover themselves from not walking totally in obedience. So obedience must be recovered. So put these things in your note, because this is going to be the groundwork of this lesson. Since the fall of Adam, and we talk about Adam disobeying in the garden last week, and in Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, but since the fall of Adam, disorder has prevailed in the universe. Everyone thinks he's able to distinguish good from evil and to judge what is right or wrong. And listen to this statement here. He seemed to know better than God. We need to be delivered from such a deception, because this is nothing other than rebellion, nothing other than a trick of the enemy to think that we know good and evil, right and wrong. It's total deception, and we're going to have to be released from it or delivered from it. Christians are living today in a state of rebellion, and they have not so much as learned the first lesson in obedience. Now, we're talking about the church as a whole. Have not even so much as learned the first lesson in obedience. The subject taught in the Bible is concerned with being subject to the authority established by God. Well, we're talking about submission. And I just want to give us a definition that we can work with. Obedience, or something that pliable, something that we can look at and say and understand quite something. Just what does God expects out of me? Simply, here's simple definition of obedience. A willingness to comply with the commands. And this command, we're talking about the commands of God or orders of God, or instruction of those in authority. Now that's simple as we're going to get it. I'm going to repeat that. Obedience is willing to comply with the command and orders or instructions of those in authority. Now, there's one key word in this definition that's going to separate obedience. Well, not separate, but they're going to help us distinguish obedience and submission, because there's a slight difference in obedience and submission. Not so much in meaning, but in action. Because they both can look the same. Obedience and submission can almost look the same. Matter of fact, you might look at a brother or sister and say, that shows an obedient brother. That brother walks in submission to authority, but that's outwardly. And the reason I say that it's a slight difference, because there's an inward difference in obedience and submission. Now, obedience is, as I just said, complying with the command. I can tell Brother John, or whoever the brother may be, I'm just using John as a figurative, that we need to move a piece of furniture. This is my illustration. We need to move a piece of furniture from point A to point B. And Brother John take the furniture, move the furniture from point A to point B. Outwardly, it looks good. But inwardly, we don't know what Brother John is saying on the inside. How come I'm always the one got to move the furniture? Why they don't get Brother Andy, to move the furniture. It's like they're always using me to do all the heavy stuff. Now, that's just an example. So I will let someone say, Brother John sure is obedient, moving the furniture from point A to point B. But don't know, in Brother John's heart, there's an element of rebellion functioning and operating beneath the visible, in the invisible realm, where you can't see. But submission is obedience, but also an action of the heart. Now, that's why I say there's a word in this definition in obedience that make obedience and submission almost synonymous. And that word is willing to comply. See, I like to use the word willing with obedience, like willing obedience. Now that makes everything on the same playing field. You can be submitted, and you can be in willing obedience. And that willing becomes an attitude of the heart that you have to express before God, before he can count it as justifiable obedience. Anything other than willingness, that there's an attitude behind it. And we call it, you might not like the way it's called, but we call it rebellion. Anything that opposing control, anything that opposing the will becomes disobedience or become rebellion. I can't make it sound any better. Sometimes I get a little feeling when I use the word rebellion that people are always thinking, why always got to use the word rebellion? Rebellion sounds so bad. But rebellion needs to sound bad because it's anti-submission. And so we want to get the church, we want to get the class, we want to get those that whom God are using in these last days in a willing position where God can get everyone his will done. We don't want to just get half of God's will done like Saul did. Saul did in 1 Samuel 15, Saul did half of God's will. What do you mean half of God's will? Half of God's will, he started out in obedience, but he ended up in disobedience. And that wasn't approved by God. God said, he told Samuel to tell Saul that he's stopped following me. He's going away from following me. Now, it looked good. Apparently, it looked good. He slew the Amalekites. He even kept Agag king. He kept the best of the sheep, the best of the goats, the best of the animals. So he said he's going to sacrifice them to the Lord, but that wasn't part of God's plan. He was going to sacrifice them to God. Now, we call that another principle called self-will, doing a will of your own that's not authorized by God. Self-will, it seems like it's kindred. But self-will is a personal agenda, and you want God to cover it, and you want God to bless it, and you want God to look like I'm in submission. But no, self-will is the only thing, the only person that benefits is self, and that's dangerous. Make sure your agenda is all the way God's agenda and is not mixed with a plan of your own. Now, let's move on now. So I want to get that simple. I'm going to read it one more time, the simple definition of obedience. But I want you to look closely at this word willing. So it got to be a willingness to comply with the command. You see it? Or orders. Or instruction of those in authority. Willingness. And I like to use the word again. I'm going to say it again. Willing obedience. And that put everything on the same playing field. And I want you to understand that because it's such a thin line and people get thrown by that because it's superficial. You see, obedience becomes superficial. You know what superficial means. You mean it's something that's not so. It looks like it's the real thing, but it's not superficial. Or let's use another word, counterfeit obedience. You want to make it look like obedience, like the same thing, but it's not the same thing. You see, either it's obedience or it's not. Obedience or rebellion. Submission or non-submission. I got to drive. I got to drive the nail in. And so we can understand it. That ain't no neutral ground here. Ain't no place where you straddling the fence. No fence straddling here. You're either with the program or you're not with the program. You're either for God or against God. Ain't no middle line here. You see it? And so we got to drive that point home. Ain't no middle line. Yeah, that's I say ain't. There ain't no middle line. There ain't no middle line. I can say it right. There isn't a middle line here. Since the fall of Adam, disorder had prevailed in the universe. Everyone thinks he's able to distinguish good from evil and to judge what is right or wrong. See, all this came with the fall. He seemed to know better than God. That principle of knowing right and wrong never was God's agenda for man. Never was God's idea. God always wanted all your right and wrong to be in him. Without God, how let me say this right? Everything was right with God. And man became the judge when knowledge, a certain knowledge came from the tree of good and evil. We call it the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan told him, you can be just like God, knowing good and evil. Well, that knowledge destroyed man's soul to a degree. It perverted man's soul. And so his thinking got perverted because it got out of line with God and began to judge things for himself. See, before the fall, man didn't have to judge anything, everything. The Bible said when God created everything, in that scripture was, and it was good. Everything was good. Everything God created was good. See, even being naked was good. Because man didn't know he was naked until he got a little knowledge. God said it was good. See, everything good, and good was no evil behind it. You see it? We can go further with that, but that's another lesson within itself. I'm just going to stick down the line with my lesson here. We need to be delivered from such a deception. It is a deception. Because this is nothing other than rebellion. I'm going to keep saying that word until you understand what rebellion is, and you get so fed up with it, you say, I don't want no part of that. I don't want no part of rebellion because it's not of God, and it stinks in God's nostril, and I want to stink in my nostril. And you'll get to the place, you'll finally get to the place where you'll be able to sense a rebellious person, not judging them, but their words have become staunch. The words will begin to give out an aroma that's not right with God. And you know their thoughts not right. Even the expression, you'll be able to say, man, something wrong with that. That's the wrong attitude. And then you know how to separate yourself from certain people when you pick up certain things. About them, they know they're not with the program, they know they're not with the pastor, they know they're not going along with what apostle is trying to do in these last days. They know they're not hooked up. And you need to start doing like Moses, like God told Moses with Korah. He told Moses, he said, I want you to separate yourself from these people. In other words, stand back, because I'm about to do something. I'm about to judge them, because they're not with me. They think they're with me. They say they're with me, but they're not with Moses. And so Moses represents me. They don't even understand how this authority works because they want to say they're with me and they're disagreeing with Moses. And Moses doing what I tell them. My goodness, you see what I'm trying to get at? Understand it. Understand it. Understand it. The subject taught in the Bible is concerned with being subject to the authorities established by God. Everything the Bible talks about the authority that comes from God. And there's a principle behind that. Now listen to this principle here. This is the principle here that you need to catch a hold of. As faith is the principle by which we obtain life, and it is. You know, you can't obtain life until you apply faith to it. And when you faith to it, life become yours, it become imparted to you by your believing and receiving it. But the same way, so obedience is the principle by which that life is lived out. You see it? It's one thing to have that life, but another thing to carry that life out the way God prescribes it. When I say life, we're talking about kingdom business here. You know, sometimes we get caught up with personal stuff, me, my four, and no more. But God is always concerned about kingdom work. God never established the kingdom to be about you and your family, what you can get out of it. God's kingdom always about his work and getting this thing done so Jesus can come and rescue us from this dying world here. Hope you understand what I'm saying. The division and disruption currently within the church stem from rebellion. In order to recover authority, obedience must first be restored. And that's what we are trying to do. But obedience starts first within the heart of man. Everything you see going on here in the world system, even in the church system, even in the home, is a resistance. It's a resistance against God's word, and it is a resistance in the heart of man. It's the heart of man that has to be changed before God to get a hold and make you come into the realm of submission and the realm of obedience. It's a heart issue. And it's not taught. Yes, I am teaching a class on spiritual authority. Yes, I am teaching a class on obedience and submission. Yes, I am teaching a class on how not to walk in rebellion. But obedience and submission can't really be taught. It has to be caught from within. It has to become a revelation, because you see what God's word says, and you want God's words to be perpetually going forth in the kingdom of darkness and bringing in the kingdom of light and doing great and mighty things in the name of the Lord, on his behalf, so the kingdom of God can come with power, where signs and wonders and miracles will take place in people's lives. It's all about changing the lives of people with the word of God. But what happened is, it has to become a revelation. I'm submitted because I love God. I'm submitted because I love his word. I'm submitted because I want to be led by his spirit. All those three things, God's word, God's spirit, the Lord himself, all have to do with this spirit of obedience. Matter of fact, over in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 1 and 19, he said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And the good of the land, that's byproduct of what God's had for us. You see it? That's byproduct. God got so much more. Everybody say so much more. Yeah, so much more. Since all authority comes from God, we must learn to obey them all. The problem facing us in our day are due to men living outside the authority of God. That's the problem today. Men are living outside of the authority of God. My goodness. We don't want to be stuck there. We don't want to be stuck living on the outside of the authority of God. Now, I want to move on here. Since we caught a hold of what we're talking about with disobedience, with not disobedience, D-I-S, this, T-H-I-S, disobedience. I want us to understand how to walk in this obedience. Well, sometime before you understand how to walk in obedience, you got to understand exactly what disobedience is. Yeah, sometimes the only way you can understand how to obey is to, through the process of disobeying, when correction comes, you say, oop, I messed up. I disobeyed. And now I know I disobeyed. Now I don't want to do that no more. Well, let's go to the book of Genesis again. And we're going to look at an Old Testament instance of rebellion. Go to Genesis 9 with me. We're going to look at the rebellion of Noah's son. Genesis 9, Noah had three sons, and one of his sons rebelled against Noah, and his other two sons tried to correct it. But sometimes people not going to ever be corrected. You know why? Because their motives are wrong from the start. Rebellion don't just happen. It's a process of the heart. Some things happen to the heart, within the heart, that cause a person to begin to change their attitude toward things. You in Genesis 9 yet? Genesis 9, we're going to look at verse 20, dealing with Noah and his son. And Noah made a mistake. Authority do make mistake, but it's never those that are under authority to correct those that are in authority. Correction always come from above. God always correct those who are called by his name. And God has ranks of authority. And God does things a certain way that we might not understand all the time. And God will not allow someone below rank to correct someone that above rank. It's a principle. Now let's look at in Genesis 9. We're going to start reading at verse 20. And it begins saying, and Noah began to be an husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunk. How many know if you drink too much wine, you get drunk? Yeah, Noah became drunk. And he was uncovered within. Now Noah's getting drunk. You see, immediately our mind want to go to judge things. See, it runs to that realm of good and evil. You see, and because that principle is the flaw, because of the fall, and because it was called through the principle of rebellion, that flesh principle want to judge instantly. It's just a matter, it's just a fact. When anybody make a mistake, the judgment already fall, the hammer already fell. So I wonder what he did to do that. I wonder what he did to receive that punishment. So judgment came, and so, but Noah made a mistake, but God always correct authority. You see, it's not our job to correct those in authority. And so if you learn to do what these other boys did, you'll know how to handle authority when you make a mistake. You see, God didn't deal with robots. Apostle Paul said, God put this heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel. Earthen vessel means that vessel is capable of making mistakes. Yeah. God used human elements to do supernatural, spiritual work. Because that human element always got to depend on a supernatural authority, supernatural power. And so, because we all had this flesh, that means we're not supposed to judge one another. Because the one scripture, the same judgment you meet, Jesus said, gonna be met to you again. Whenever you judge, if you don't watch it, you're gonna be judged by that same thing. So be careful when we try to judge those that God has in authority. I remember a while back, years ago, a great man of God made a mistake and fell. And our apostle, in his wisdom, he called the church together. He said, look, he said, keep your mind off of this thing. Don't touch this. He said, God, this is God's business here. And so as wise the wisdom of God came to us, we as a church whole, we would not put our mouth on that situation because we know it was wrong to do that. And so God is the judge. Man got restored, ministry was going on like nothing happened. See, that's between him and God, you see? Yeah, that's between him and God. Authority, always corrected by a higher authority. And so Noah became drunk. I didn't have to throw that in there. Sometimes people judge people in authority and think they're capable and able to make judgment. No, you're not. Let's do like these boys did here. Now, we're going to find out what one of their sons did here. In his 23rd verse, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. You see, that's the, oh my goodness, that's the earthen vessel we're talking about here. The first thing he wanted to do was tell someone else, I saw Dad in his tent. Man, he was so drunk, he didn't even have any clothes on. He was naked. And he saw his father's nakedness. It wasn't honor. It was dishonorable to look upon your father's nakedness. And Ham, my goodness, dishonored his father. See, sometimes people dishonor their authority and don't know what they're doing. They put their mouth on things, and it's just like looking upon his nakedness because the human side of him, and they looked at it, and they make judgments, and they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know the error that they're putting. They don't know the position that they're putting themselves in when they dishonor their authority and say things they shouldn't say. And God look upon them just as though a Ham look upon his father nakedness and dishonor his father. Oh, my goodness, you don't want to dishonor your spiritual father. My goodness, you don't want to look upon his nakedness. No, 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 you want to do like these other boys did. Well, let's see what these other boys did. He look upon his father's nakedness, and he went to his brother without. And look now. Ah, my goodness. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders. They would not so much even look at their father. And went backwards. And they both got, I could see them now. They both had this blanket, this covering on their shoulders. And he said, Shem, look, we're going to take care of Daddy. Yeah, Daddy in the tent naked, Ham over there just making fun of it. You see, you got to realize some people looking to find faults in authority. You know, you look hard enough, you'll find fault in anything, anybody, if you look hard enough. But God got a way of covering this earthen vessel. God got a way of protecting his anointed ones and keeping them from shame. And keeping them from being judged. And so they backed up with the garment, and they laid the garment down over their father, and brought back, Jesus, brought back honor. My goodness, brought back honor to Noah. Yeah, even though Ham brought dishonor, they took the blanket, the garment, the covering, laid it over Noah and wasn't so much to look at him and brought honor back to him. That's what the church got to do. They got to keep the covering upon authority. Yeah, keep the covering. We talking about covering sin? No, we're not talking about covering sin. God judge. God going to judge whatever needs to be judged. But we got to keep make sure they're covered. Don't talk about our authority. Don't talk about our brother and sister when they make a mistake. Don't keep your mouth off them. See, the world like to grab a hold of that and make havoc of the church and bring shame to the church. And the sinners will love to march a parade around the church and laugh, make it a laughing stock because the church don't cover themselves. Let God be God. Let God be the judge here. And so they covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. I don't want to see my father's nakedness. I don't want to see my father's weakness. I don't want to see my authority. I don't want to see my authority's shortcoming. I don't want to see their error. I don't want to see no mistake. No, all I want to see is the righteousness that God presented to them before us. Is authority perfect? No, I didn't see the authority perfect. But it's not our job to uncover the nakedness. Woe unto those that uncover the nakedness of their spiritual fathers. Woe unto them. Now let's see what's going to happen here. Now I saw myself in this. I'm going to show you where I saw me at. I'm going to show you where I saw me at. I know that's not good English, but I'll show you where I saw myself. And he said, who said that? Noah. He said, cursed be Canaan, servant of servants, shall he be unto his brother. Noah had to curse him. You think he wanted to curse his sin? No. See, Noah was a righteous man, the Bible says. God saved him and his whole family through Noah's righteousness. And so God saw Noah as a righteous man. And so Noah had to curse his son because the Lord had him curse his son. He didn't want to do it. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem and Canaan should be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth. They had the two boys that did what was right. And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. Now, my question is to you, class, and I'm going to answer it too. And here I'm going to show you where I saw myself at. How did you think Noah knew what Ham did? I'm going to tell you why. I'm glad you asked me that question. What he did was, you see, I made myself a tattletale. And people, the congregation always knew, if you don't want a pastor to know something, don't say it or do it in front of me, because he's surely going to know. I made that commitment to myself. I am not going to be more loyal to you than I am to my apostle. Them to my spirit. Tell tips, call me what you want. But my apostle gonna know. So to answer the question, how did Noah know? Shem and Japheth told him. They say, Dad, Ham walked in on your nakedness and told us what had happened. But we wouldn't even so much look upon your nakedness. We took this blanket and covered you. That's how he knew. And boys told him. And you need to do the same thing. You see people doing things wrong and dishonest and saying things about your spiritual leader. He need to be able to, he can't watch everything. I said, Lord, let me be his eyes when he can't see. Let me be his ears when he don't hear, when he can't hear. He can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent. My spiritual leader is not omnipresent, and neither nor he omniscient. Can't be everywhere in the same place. But wherever, in my little vicinity, my surrounding, the people that I can see with my eyes, and they're not saying and doing things like they're supposed to, he gonna know about it. Yes, I'll be his ear. I'm not talking about telling every little thing I see. I'm talking about things that can change the course of something. See, you got to have a certain maturity in you to know. I'm not talking about a little talent there, daddy, this, that. No, it ain't what I'm talking about. There's an inkling that comes in your spirit where you need to check some things and see some things. And the Lord said, mark that. That's what I'm talking about. Mark that person. You see, and then when you mark that person, you'll know it, he'll know it. Yeah. Keep a watchful eye over the ministry. That's your job as submitted servants of God and submitted leadership. So that was Ham had. That what Ham had to deal with. Ham didn't handle it right. But I want you to know this. Remember I said sometimes you can't learn obedience until you fail? Submission? I'm going to say it again. You can't learn obedience until you fail submission. And then you make some mistakes. So look, failure of delegated authority, it tests obedience. Sometimes a delegated authority failure is see how obedient you are. Let me read this now. In the Garden of Eden, Adam fell. In the vineyard, Noah also was defeated. But because of his righteousness, God saved the family of Noah. In God's plan, Noah was the head of the family. God put the whole family under Noah's authority. He also set Noah at the head of the world at that time. My goodness, you hear what I'm saying? But one day, Noah became drunk in his vineyard. And he uncovered himself in his tent. His youngest son, Ham, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. So far as Noah's conduct was concerned, he certainly was wrong. He should not have been drunk. Yet Ham failed. Listen at this. Underline this if you're taking notes. Ham failed to see the dignity of authority. Don't you ever fail to see the dignity of your authority. That's a spiritual law. We need to remember that. Always highly esteem those whom God has put over you. That's scripture. I can show you scripture. Go to Hebrews when you get a chance. Hebrews 13 will tell you that. It says, submit yourself. And then it says, obey. Obey them because they watch over your soul. Yep. The Father is God's institute authority in the home. But the flesh, listen. But the flesh delights in seeing a defect in authority. Why? So as to throw off all restraint. You see it? They want to see a failure. So if it's okay. Let me tell you a little story. I never forget as long as I live. Fathers are the only God a child can see. I know a man, and I was sitting talking to him. He was squat down, smoking a cigarette. His little boy comes by, and you know how he flicked the cigarette on the ground? And the little boy comes by, and he picked up the cigarette, and he started imitating his father and smoking it. Little young kid, about five years old. And the father grabbed him and started whipping his butt. I said, what in the world is he doing? That child only imitating. What did see him do? You can't right or wrong by disciplining your child from doing what he see you do. He said, father do it. It must be all right. You see it? Now, my point is this. You see, sometimes children look for flaws to throw off restraint so they don't have to submit. If a father do it, I can do it. So they throw off their restraint, and then it gives them a license to do that without any conscience sake. You see it? This young boy I'll tell you about, sure, he didn't know what he was doing was wrong. But at the end, his father reprimanded him, and his father should have been reprimanded. I just thought that was a good example of poor leadership in the home. But at the same time, a child can't rise no higher than their authority. A child can't rise no higher than the father respect himself before his children. You see him? When Ham saw his father nakedness and father improper conduct, he did not have the slightest sense of shame or sorrow. You see it? Nor did he try to cover his father's fault. This revealed that he had a rebellious spirit. He went out instead and told his brethren, pointing out to them his father's ugliness, and so adding to himself the sin of reviling. Amen. Amen.